Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Happy Friday, everybody. I hope you are having a great week. You know, I'm really excited about this episode, episode 2, and it is my first interview with my friend, my mentor, my coach, my leader, Dawn Jackson. And let me tell you, she just drops so much wisdom and insight in this conversation. We talk about things like our calling, our purpose, how to navigate difficult seasons, how to navigate waiting. Like she just, I mean, in one episode, this could have been like 12 episodes long. She is so wise. If you're not driving, I honestly would encourage you to grab a pen and paper or pull up the notes app on your phone because there's just so much goodness dropped in this one episode. I have been so honored to get to serve with her for about 3 years on staff at Faith Church. And then she recently has taken a job with Equip and Empower Ministries that was started by Nick and Christine Kane. And so there's just so much good things happening in her life. She has been somebody who has leaned into who God has called her to be. She has been obedient. She has learned discipline. I mean, so much good stuff from this woman. So without further ado, here is my interview with Dawn Jackson.
All right. Well, Dawn, I'm excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes. We already were talking today. We hiked earlier this morning. And so I feel like we actually already got into this subject a little bit. And I was like, this is going to actually be good to talk about.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I'm just really excited today because I just know that Dawn has so much wisdom. And I have been honored to just be mentored by you and just also be able to just kind of be led by you and be on staff with you and just get to learn a lot. We have known each other for about 3 years now.
Yep.
And I joined staff at Faith. And I remember when I came in is when we were starting to have the whole Enneagram discussion. And I know
yes,
lots of people have their own opinions about the Enneagram, but I won't talk for you. I definitely found it really insightful and helpful. And I think what was cool was that we both went on very different journeys, but I think maybe a similar journey of like going really inward.
Yes.
Because we focused on a lot of other things. And so finally taking that time to really kind of go into ourselves and see like, what's going on in here? Cause I've been good at avoiding it for so many years. So, I just think you have so many good things that everybody needs to hear. But before we kind of get into it, and I would just love for everybody to get to hear a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing, and if you want to share a little bit.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks, Whit. Thanks for having me on here. This is fun.
Yes.
And so I appreciate that. And so who am I? You know, well, first of all, I'm a follower of Jesus, a lover of Jesus. And I love life. I believe each day is a gift and how we live it is our gift back to Him.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And just, I'm a dog mom and I don't have my own kids, but I've been also on staff at the church. You know, I've been in a role of a pastor for 33 years. And so I've done a lot of different things church-wise as well. I'm an outdoor athlete. I guess most athletes are outdoor, but maybe not all. I don't know. I love being outside and, just really embracing life and loving life and going for it. And so, yeah, I don't know if that does that help describe me enough? I don't know.
Yes. No, I know that is such a hard question. People are like, tell me about your entire life. So I do have to say, I laugh because, and I hope it's okay that I say this, but you said before, like you've woken up before you're supposed to get up because you were just like excited to get up. And I could not agree with you at all on that. I had no idea what that felt like.
Yeah, there are times I wake up and it's like, oh, it's only 3 a.m. I can't get up yet. I know it's sick.
It's crazy. Yeah. But so when you say that you really are a lover of life, you are not exaggerating, because you do, you really do. And I think it's been really cool that you have been, you said you've been at Faith for about 33 years, which is amazing. And I feel like it's pretty unique. I think in today's day, like, it's not necessarily, I don't think we think about being like planted and staying somewhere for a really long time. And not that it's obviously when God calls you to go somewhere, you got to go.
Right.
But it definitely seems like, and maybe it's maybe more the millennial culture and down, or maybe it's always been like this, but it feels like staying rooted somewhere, it's just not that common.
Yeah.
And so I think I've just admired you about that, but do you mind just talking about that a little bit? What it felt like? Has it been hard, or has it felt like, no, this is where I am?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, Faith was my home church. I started attending there literally right after I graduated from high school, the Sunday after high school graduation. And this is going to date me, but that was back in 1984. That was a long time ago. You were not born. It was a long time ago. But I started attending, and it was just the church. God just used it just to really speak deeply into my life. I had been a Christian since I was little, but I just grew so much, and I didn't see myself going into ministry. In fact, I fought against that in my early years, but then I came on team in 1989. I thought it was going to last a few years, 'cause I was still in college and doing youth. But what happened is, it just, you know, when something is right, the vibe is right. Like God's called you to something, you can't not do it.
Yeah.
And so inside of me was just like Jeremiah talks about, that fire that just was burning inside his heart, right? When I would start to teach our young people, I was a youth pastor. I came alive on the inside. And so, you know, I did that for 10 years, and I resigned back in 1999, but I was never without a job at the church, because after I resigned, then they said, well, hey, what if you did this in adult ministries? And so I took that on as well. But basically, in that journey of doing the different things that I've done, it's not that it's always been easy. It's just that I've always felt called. And so there's been some really hard spots, whether hard spots because of my own personal life or hard spots because of stuff the church was going through, but I just was called. And so it was just like, I just knew, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is what God's called me to do.
Mm.
And so that's really how I navigated it, is just, I didn't feel a release from the Lord, and I knew He called me. And
Yeah. That's a big deal. Just that whole obedience piece too.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when you don't feel it sometimes, right? Because sometimes Dr. Jim used to always say, you know, he would resign every Monday morning. I get that. And, you know, that Monday low after a Sunday where it's just like, I'm done, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But then Tuesday rolled around and I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's keep going in this thing.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I think other things about you that I've always admired, other than like your dedication and just really, really trying to stay where God has called you and following that. I know that you've had just a lot of things happen just in your life over, you know, your lifespan. Could you talk a little bit about just your faith journey during that, and your faith as a believer, not at Faith Church? I know there's been a lot of ups and downs, and I feel like you have just stewarded some of those moments really well. Probably, obviously, not perfectly, like nobody has, but
Yeah, you know, I mean, they call it a journey, right? So like you said, ups, downs, turns, twists, things. Mm-hmm. If I look back, I go, man, I do that differently. But, you know, basically, I mean, I tell people I was born on Monday and I was in church on Sunday. Literally, my mama had me in church. So I'm over-churched. If anybody could be over-churched, that's me.
Uh-huh.
And I was somewhat of a PK. My father was not ever... he was not ordained, but he was like the music minister in the churches while I was growing up until their divorce. And so I was at church all the time.
Mm.
And then when my parents had a really, it was a tough divorce. And thank God there was no social media and all that kind of stuff back in those days. 'Cause I mean, that just amplifies those types of things these days, but it was a rough one, and it was rough on me as well. And that was a rough spot in my life, but that's really where I had a decision to make. And I was about 12. But I still remember just talking to God and just saying, hey, everybody else has left. You're the only one that's here. And I'm now going to come to you. Every time I need something, I'm coming to you, Lord. And if you're there, then I'll serve you the rest of my life. But if I ever come and you're not there, I'm done with this Christianity thing. And you know, I thought at 12, you could talk to God like that, right? Which is actually is how we can talk to God. We need to be more like that, being real with where we're at with our emotion.
Yeah.
And of course I tell people, because sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, well, yeah, well, I'm still here because God's always been faithful. And I've made my sense of my share of mistakes along the way, you know, and such, but that he's just been my rock. And so just really weathering that, the family stuff was really rough. And yeah, then up through just continuing to grow with him, even into current seasons, you know, where we might get into this at some point, but just even current seasons when God has transitions and different things and what does that look like, you know, just trusting him.
Yeah.
Trusting him. It's a journey.
Yeah. And you've mentioned before some of your anchor scriptures.
Yes.
What was your anchor scripture again?
When I was 12, you will never leave me or forsake me. That was my very first anchor or life verse that I would grab onto. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I learned that, of course, in Sunday school. So, you know, those things we learn as kids, if we've been raised in church, man, what a blessing that is. That's just a rock for us to hang on to those things. So,
totally. That's so good. Are there some other things that you would say you've really held on to over the years of things that you kind of just go back to that keep you anchored?
Yeah, so I would say I have a couple of verses. So sometimes it's various verses. And then also just the power of journaling. Right in my, I have a cabinet that has all my journals from, I started journaling when I was 17. That was a long time ago. Now, I don't do it every day, but I've got stacks of journals. And I went through recently because I was pulling out every time somebody had a word for me that they sensed God was sharing for me, or maybe something I really felt like God was saying directly to me. And I pulled those out to put those in a journal. And I just think that some of those anchors are like, Lord, I know you said this.
Yeah.
And so I'm just reminding me, what has he said? What has he said? And hanging on to those words, hanging on to those verses have been huge anchors for me. And then, you know, examples of other people as well, you know, that we just respect, and, you know, so their example becomes an anchor for our life as well.
That's so good. I think something that we've been doing in coaching that I know we've all just found so immensely helpful is to actually write out all the words that we've been given. So we took time, and I have them hanging right near my bed, and it was actually so interesting to see, because some of the books we were reading and just the things that we've been discussing, like you're saying, words are weapons of warfare.
Yes.
And so it's so easy to, and I have it near my bed because for me, waking up in the morning is when my thoughts can just be crazy. So for me, like the morning is when I really, really either, you know, it's how I set my day. So if I start a little rough, I can tend to maybe stay in that rough spot. So waking up and just being able to see, like, I know this is what I'm struggling with right now, but God, you actually have said this to me years ago and then currently too. Like you're saying, it has been just a game changer, and it just increases your faith a ridiculous amount.
It really does. And like even this morning, the Lord kept, because last year or 2020, the Lord gave me like 10 verses to memorize, not all at once, but through the course of the year, they actually became very prophetic over my life for the season that I was in. And into 2021 as well. But this morning it was back to, you know, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her shall be accomplished, which comes from Luke. And it was the promise given to Mary. But it was once again reminding me to steward those words, believe those words, because sometimes I'll just step back and go, God, I know you said this, but I don't see how this is going to work. And it's just like, and it's not like doubting that he can do it. I just don't see the pathway. I don't see how this is going to work out. And it's just like, trust me like Mary did. Just trust me.
No, that's so good. So yeah, I would encourage everybody to do that. Cause it's, what's the book that we read that was talking about that weapons, words are warfare?
That one comes out of the Spiritual Gifts book by Sam Storms. I think that's where that was, because he had like 7 steps on how to steward a word. Mm-hmm, and I wish I knew them all by heart. I don't.
No. Yeah. But yeah. So if anyone, I totally recommend that, because it has been really helpful for sure.
Yeah.
Something that we have done a lot of since 2020 started. So 2020 happens. Everybody knows that. And we begin our adventure in hiking, and I still will always claim that I am not a hiker. We hiked this morning and I thought I was going to pass out. You are, yes, like you said, you are a huge adventurer, and it's actually been really cool. So we were able to do a Mount Whitney training trip together. Of course, we haven't been able to do Whitney yet just because the fires ended up stopping that. But yes, that was a really cool adventure. We've done just some really awesome hikes, and we went canyoneering once. Yes. But I mean, those are little baby things. You got to tell people just all of the things that you have done as an athlete, because it's very impressive.
Well, thank you. Thanks. So I'm one of those crazy folks. I like the endurance type things, like even if it hurts. And so I've done an Ironman. That was been like 10 years ago now, which is crazy. I've done the longest race I did was 50 miles. It was in Bryce. Did rim to rim to rim at the Grand Canyon. That was in one day, which was insane.
Crazy.
I think that was 46 miles, but pretty amazing. Mm. You know, a lot of marathons and just different races. I love the outdoors. I love the backpacking and all of that as well, to go off for a week into the wilderness and backpack with friends. I just enjoy it. I sense God's presence and just the peace of just being outside in nature. Mm-hmm. So I love it.
Yeah. That's...
And you are a hiker. You're just in denial.
Just in denial. Yes. We are starting to train for a triathlon. So that is going to actually be really interesting to see.
That was your idea, which I love.
It was totally my idea, because I felt lost after we weren't training for anything. And I was like, ooh, this is so much better for me when I have something that I'm... a goal that I'm trying to reach.
Yes.
Which we even said it this morning, that alone, pushing yourself and hiking and doing all of that, it has so many preaching moments.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
And so on a lot of our hikes, we have had some just really profound conversations and times together in our coaching sessions. And so today, I know I was excited to talk to you a little bit about calling and purpose, because I think that is something we all wrestle with probably most of our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I think today in society, there's such this journey of what does it mean to be happy and to be fulfilled? I hear a lot of, and I am so interested in kind of the whole psychology and like the neuroscience aspect of people trying to find purpose and joy and meaning, all of this stuff. And I think it is such with well intent, but 99% are missing the main thing that comes from being called. And we've been talking a lot about this, but yeah, maybe you could just start us off. I know the one thing that really stuck out to us when we've been just talking about that, this is to be called, you have to have a caller.
Yeah, absolutely. That comes from Os Guinness.
Yeah.
And I think it's brilliant. And it really goes back to, you know, in our society and people, I mean, they're just looking to live life and live a life that means something. But there tends to be with, you know, when we're not just people that are apart from Christ, even those sometimes as Christians live this way, like I'm going to just design my own life. But the thing is we're out there trying to design all of this and we're trying to figure out, find happiness. And the reality is that we're going to find, I don't know if it's so much happiness, but that purpose when it's not something we design for ourselves. It's actually, we've been designed for a purpose. And so to have a caller, you can't have a call without a caller. And so in our modern society, a lot of times people think, well, I am what I do. You say, well, you know, who are you? And we describe what we do. And we've so over-identified with what we do. Then who are we when we don't do that anymore? And that leads to identity crisis, right? Because, like, as you know, I'm transitioning right now out of my role as a pastor at the church into a volunteer role. So then who am I if I'm not a pastor, if that's my identity, right? Mm-hmm. But Os Guinness says, you know, no, do what you are. And so that really flips things around. And so, and who am I? Well, I am who he's called me to be. And I become who I've been created to be as I follow his call. So it's really leaning into, okay, Lord, where are you calling? How are you calling me? And first he calls us foremost to himself. It's that relationship. And that is our primary calling, is our relationship with God. And then there's a secondary calling and what he's called us to, and the different other things that maybe we're doing with our life. And sometimes we get so enamored with the secondary calling that we forget about the primary. And that primary one's got to be first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then regardless of what my role is, where I'm working, mm-hmm. whatever, yeah. I can be first and foremost, I'm a daughter, you know, I'm a daughter of the King, right? As a Christian, I believe, you know, so I'm always going to be that, whether I'm a pastor or not.
Right.
I'm always going to be that.
Yeah.
And he's created me to be these different, you know, within me, these things. And I'm continuing to become who he's called me to be as I follow mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, it's that following. So mm-hmm. I know that can sound a little like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so
good.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah, because I think when what you said at the beginning about like, we make it so like we have to come up with this calling on our lives, but he's already placed one on us. I mean, I think that just for me, that thought has created so much freedom for me, because it's not that like I just have to like randomly grab things and try and put together this life that I'll be like, okay, Lord, was this good enough? Like he actually has created us on purpose with a design in mind. And
right.
I think a lot of that comes from, like you've already said, like trusting and just being obedient and kind of stepping into the things that he has for us. I think the other thing that I love is calling, I think a lot of times can feel really, not selfish, but just all about me. And it just has to do with like what I'm concerned about. And I love how we've been able to have this conversation of like, the calling on each one of our lives has to do with a greater purpose, that God has this yes. design, this restorative design for the world through each one of our callings.
Absolutely.
And I think that, so rather than I have to compete with somebody or feel inferior to somebody because of like what they're doing, that it's actually, I want to be in the lane that he's created for me, because that is my piece to the overall yes. picture.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, our calling is not all about us. Our calling yeah. is first and foremost about him.
Yeah.
And then we are a part of it, but the giftings he puts in our life, we've been gifted so that we can be a blessing to other people. So mm-hmm. there are other people on the other side of our calling as we're living our calling out. You know, I know you and I are both aunties, right? And mm-hmm. so part of my calling or my mission in life is, what kind of an auntie am I to my nieces and my nephew?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just about me, although I get part of it. There's a blessing in it, but mm-hmm. it's bigger than that, right? There's mm-hmm. other people on the other side of that obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What do you think... And either for yourself or just for a lot of us, because this is something that every believer, I don't want to say struggles with, but I think it's a lifelong process of like, of really figuring out, you know, who God has called us to be. What have been some obstacles for you in realizing what your calling and your purpose has been?
Well, I think first of all, I was so attached to identifying myself by what I do. Because I got accolades for various things and I felt valued. If I perform a certain way, people like that, I'm now valued. Mm. I won't be abandoned, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of time we all over-identify with either identifying ourselves as I am what I do, or I am what I have, or I am what other people think or say about me. And so then we're driven by those, you know,
right.
I'm driven by what I do. And so I think first of all was learning to detach, because I didn't think I was having such a grip on my identity caught up in what I did until I wasn't doing those things anymore. And so that was revealed, like, oh, wow, I was over-identifying there.
Yeah.
And so I think part of understanding calling is being able to hold different gifts lightly, and where you have enough of a hand on it that God can work through you, but you're not gripping it when he says it's time to remove it and give you something else, right?
Yeah.
So, and then it's also, you know, it's not what other people's expectations are for me, because they may see me certain ways and, well, you need this is you or that is you. And sometimes we want to please those people and be
right.
what they want us to be. And so it's learning to, it's becoming, it's really being able to be independent, and just, it's really about, you know, what has God said? To have a spirit of indifference towards all things, but God's will for my life. And that's something I've been speaking over my life for a couple of years now, is that
wow.
I am not what I do. I am not what I have, and I am not what people think or say about me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be driven by those things today. Today, I have a spirit of indifference towards
wow.
all things, but God's will for my life. And so it's easier to say than it is to live. But by speaking it,
yeah.
I can then begin to also, hey, Dawn, you know what? You have you're too attached here. Let go a little bit mm-hmm. and just trust God and what is God saying. And also, I'd say this also in calling. So there's times, because sometimes I think we can get where we're really overly like, we go the other extreme and feel like, oh my gosh, what if I miss it? And so then we don't know how to make any move. And sometimes I do think God just sort of gives us like these boundaries and he goes, anything within the boundaries, go for it. Mm-hmm. And gives us the opportunity to, you know, do different things. And yeah. so I don't have to be stressed out about every little choice that I'm making. Right. And knowing that if I make a choice, he loves me so much. If I make a choice that's taken me a little sideways or out of his will, he's going to speak to me. He loves mm-hmm. me a lot. He's not just going to let me go walking down that path. Mm-hmm. So it can take some of that pressure off of what if I miss him? As long as I'm staying regularly with him and bringing things before him, he's not going to let me miss him or my purpose in life as long as I'm listening.
Right. So. Yeah, that's super good. I think I remember when I first got sick and I had to take a break from singing. And so I went through that whole, I mean, this happened in like water polo too in high school, but once I got injured, it just happened again. And I guess I hadn't learned all of the lessons from things yet, but I completely lost my identity because I was like, if I can't sing, what am I good for? Like, I totally was living under that. I am what I do. And also I am what people think of me because people admired the type of work I was getting to, you know what I mean? Like it was all of this that I realized that's what I was holding on to. I was not holding on to like where, what is God doing? What has he called me to? It was no, like I really am hanging on to what people think of me and what I do. So then it was like this super, you know, I went through my whole ups and downs and I was like, what are you doing, God? What have I done wrong? Like it was just that whole thing. And just realizing, yeah, I wasn't anchored to who he had called me to be. I was very much anchored to my giftings and things that I wanted to be good at. So that's so hard.
It is. It really is. And you know what he did? I mean, recently being in the last couple of years for me is he literally, well, I shouldn't say not literally, but proverbially put me in a cocoon, if you will. You know, and just was, and it wasn't isolation. It was because I was with people and I'm really big about, you know, you have key people and small group and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he does sometimes just say, hey, it's going to just be a season, which it was for me, where, you know, a cocoon just sort of wraps around you. And what was happening, I had never read what happens in a cocoon. I mean, I know a cocoon, a moth goes in and a butterfly or technically a moth, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, a caterpillar goes in and a moth comes out.
Right.
And butterflies are in the whatever, the chrysalis or whatever. But what's the process like inside the cocoon? And inside the cocoon, which was a little graphic, a little gross actually, but I guess the enzymes get released, it actually begins to dissolve the caterpillar's body. So this cannot be comfortable. And it sees, I mean, basically its legs and everything that it depended on before are dissolved. And I just started to think about, you know, if this caterpillar could talk, what would it be saying like to the Lord? Like, Lord, my legs are disappearing. What are you doing to me right now? Because that's all it's ever known. I walk on plants, right? That's what I do. And the Lord just saying, don't worry, you're not going to need those anymore. And inside were some cells that had been kept in an immature status that now begin to grow and become the wings. But it doesn't, the caterpillar has no context for wings or for flying. It just knows that who it was is going away. So who am I now? And that's a lot of how I felt. Wow. And my cocoon's experience is like, God, the things that I was doing before and how I was identified are not there now. I'm not doing those things. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? And he's like, don't worry, you don't need that anymore. There's something new. Mm. So it's that's an uncomfortable spot to be in.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time. God's timing is not our timing. But man, on the other side of that, and which I feel like I am now on the other side of that, it's just amazing. I would not bypass that experience for anything because it's worth it.
Yeah. Do you think, or do you know, have you noticed? So realizing like your tendency and mine very much too can be, I am what I do. Are there ways that you've learned maybe how to kind of safeguard yourself as you're going through something? Because like, I know you're going through a transition now and it's like, are there things that you talk about with God? Like, okay, how do I not make this next thing who I am as well?
Yeah, you know, because that's huge. Because as I move forward and as I have different opportunities, I don't want to overly attach to them. Yeah. I'm grateful for them and I'm going to learn from them and I want to steward them. And you know what? Maybe that's the key word. Mm. Maybe the key word is steward. And I'm just sort of thinking out loud here, you know, with you, because it's not an identity, it's a stewardship. Mm. And so these new opportunities that I have and various things, I want to steward it well. But I also just think, you know, a lot of my process in the last, especially 5-6 years, has been in the contemplative side of prayer, to really being present to God and practicing contemplative prayer, silence and solitude and stillness. Man, I hate stillness, but it's so good for me. Yeah. And I think that's going to become, it's going to stay a critical piece of who I am and what I do, because it's in those places that I can find my security there. My security is to be rooted in Him, not in what I do. Right. So then I can steward the things that He's placed into my hands.
Mm. Yeah, that's so good. That's really good. You've talking about the cocoon a little bit. I know all of us go through a season of waiting.
Yes.
Which, as you said before, which is, I mean, and it goes to the scripture verse of in pregnancy, you can't see what's being birthed, with the analogy in scripture. And so it can be really brutal and pretty ugly,
yes,
to a sense. But what are some things that you think have either helped you or just are some good things to hold on to in the waiting season?
Yeah. So in the waiting season, first of all, for me, the journaling. Mm-hmm. Just keep going back. That is just such a critical piece.
Yeah.
And being able to go back and read the journals too, you know, because it encourages me. So in the waiting season, it's that. And I also just think, you know, who you surround yourself with in the waiting season, the people, you know, I know we have, you and I are in the same small group, and that's been critical for me. The key friendships that I have with that are people that are outside of our group that have just walked. Cause I think you have to have a place to really dialogue with some people. They may not fully understand. Nobody can ever understand fully what another person is going through, but to have others that are safe, you know, the safe friend concept, and that we're not talking of course they're physically safe, but they're also emotionally safe. They want what's best for you.
Yeah.
And so just having, and those folks, particularly since I identified so much with what I do, having these kind of friendships where I'm valued simply for who I am and not for what I do in that waiting season is super important as well. Mm. You know, just keep you anchored. You know that you're loved. It's not about what your output is. It's just simply being yourself. And there's that statement, trust the slow work of God. Trust the slow work of God. He's at work. He is at work, and we just got to trust Him. And we have so many examples scripturally of, you know, there wasn't anyone that I can see in the scripture that had a promise on Thursday and got it fulfilled on Friday, right?
Right.
It took time. Yeah. And if it's taking time, there's a reason. He's developing us.
Yeah.
And I'm not serving Him because of His promise. He's the promise giver. So I love Him for who He is, not for what He does for me.
That is good. Something that we've talked about a lot that has been helpful for me as well, especially when it comes to coaching, is goal setting and specifically, and I have always hated goal setting. I'm just like, you know, the whole New Year's resolutions and just all of that stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. So it irks me a lot, but I love the way that we've talked about when it comes to goals, because you talk a lot about goals come out of our being rather than our doing. And I thought that was so cool because, you know, I've been making goals out of my being. So I'm, like you said, I'm an auntie. So even just coming up with goals and certain mission statements for who I want to be as an aunt, who I want to be as a daughter, who I want to be as a worship leader, as a creative, but it kind of broke open just so much more space and like freedom about what that means. So can you talk a little bit about, goals coming out of our being?
Sure. Yeah. You know, So I got this just as I was training to become a life coach. And so learned a lot of this there and applied it to my life. And it's like, wow, this makes a lot of sense, because so many times we go and we write up goals and they just become things we have to get done, things we get to check off. And it's like, what's the purpose behind them? So if you step back first and really take a look at what is your life vision, like what is that legacy? What is different ways of looking at it? But like when you're 85 years old, what is it that the word picture of what you've left behind, right? Or what is the future you're designing right now? And so you just spend some time first just looking at that and not feeling like, don't worry about it being egotistical. It's like, you know, God, what is it that, because it's not egotistical. It's a, God wants us to live a life that has a fullness to it, an abundant life. So from there, then it's like, well, life purpose. Well, life purpose is this. It's like, who do I need to be so that that dream or that legacy, that vision becomes a reality. It's that being aspect. And so, you know, I've got to be someone who's present with others. I got to be, if I want people to live life, I've got to be living life, right? If I'm living life and loving life and, you know, and so who do I need to be? And then from that would come our mission after that. Now, what do I need to do? And the doing part is important, because Jesus, when he talks about like the good servant, he says, well done. He doesn't say well being. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. But that doing now flows out of the being. So if I have this legacy, if I have this life purpose or vision, I'm sorry, and then who I need to be is my purpose. Okay, so what are the things I need to do so that my doing is going to flow from that being? And so now when I have, and then from that is going to come goals. And my goals are not so much, they're not haphazard. Instead, I'm doing these things. Why? So that it's empowering me to be the person I'm called to be, so that people's lives are transformed by the love of Jesus, and that life vision becomes a reality. That now becomes fuel, because there's days I don't want to do my goals. I don't want to focus on those things. But if I can keep the, who's he called you to be? And this is all flowing out of relationship with him. Now I have a fuel that goes, okay, I'm going to be disciplined today. There's a big word, disciplined. I'm going to be disciplined today. And we're going to lock that in so that these are getting done, not so I can check them off.
Right.
But because Jesus is using this and lives are being transformed, including mine, and it brings him honor.
That is actually a really helpful, because I know for me, so when quarantine happened and at the beginning, everybody was posting like, if you haven't composed a masterpiece this week, what are you doing? Like, I remember all of those posts. If you haven't written your novel or started your business, all of this stuff. And for me, I was just like, this is the least motivating thing I have ever, I've ever thought about. And so with us going through some of that, some of those thoughts, and then also me talking with my therapist, I ended up starting to like write from a place of wanting to do something for my niece and nephews. And I recognized that when I was writing, I was just like, I'm just doing this because I feel like I have to. And other than just like the discipline of like, you should just do it consistently. Not even that. It was just like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, it just feels like something I should do, but I'm not even that, you know, all of those things that really just blocked me from it. And then finally, when we were talking about that and I had this just awesome change of heart when it came to like, oh, like I, what if I write songs for my kids that I'm super passionate about, and realizing that a lot of that flowed from already like who I am and who I want to be for them, and writing songs and making content that I would feel so good about them seeing and encountering in other kids. And so, you know, it kind of branched into this whole kids project, and all of that really did come out of like just going back and sitting and being like, okay, why am I doing this? You know, it's it didn't come from the fist of like, I should write songs because I need to try and see if I can get them pitched, or I could try and get some whatever. Like, there's all of that. It was like, no, like that's what I want to do, things that just feel really integrous for at least my kids. And then if nobody else likes it, that's all right. You know, at least I'm loving on them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fuel, right? All of a sudden you come alive to it, because there's a fuel, there's a natural fuel that's there, and it's not coming out of a should. Shoulds tend to shame us, right? Shoulds are shaming. It's like, I should this, I should that. And it's just like, you know, no, you're instead, you're living out, when we've talked about this, you're living out like out of your values, because values, what the things that you value That provides creative juice, if you will, energy to get creative. So, yeah. And it's just, it's not just a little shift, like we're playing games with ourselves. It's a reality. Yeah,
right.
Who have we been created to be? And, it's just so releasing.
Yes.
That way.
And then I feel like it's also been helpful for me in the discipline area, because I remember you saying, Dr. J said once, discipline brings freedom.
Yes.
And I realized discipline without like any target or goal behind it, I can already struggle with discipline. So then if I don't know why I'm doing it, there's zero chance I'm going to keep it up. But yes. When you get into the weeds and the days when you really, really, really don't want to do it, because we'll all go through that regardless of how much we love doing something.
Yep.
Then we can be reminded, no, this is why I'm doing it. This is why I'm making the sacrifice. This is why I'm putting the time into it. But then, yeah, like you said, discipline brings freedom. And I wrote that down on a sticky note on my wall. So I was like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah, you know, Dr. J had this teaching. He had like these four D's. And he'd say, it all starts, first of all, you have this desire. And we all got these desires, things we want to do or be. And then he's like, so then you need to make a decision.
Yeah.
But the big one is that third one. It's that discipline one. Yeah, the discipline brings freedom. And he would sit down at the piano and he could play, I think it was Moonlight Sonata or something like that. But that's the only song he can play on the piano because he didn't practice all the time. He wasn't disciplined enough.
Right.
So discipline, we tend to relate to as a negative word, and it's actually a very positive word. So I can't play. My dad was an incredible musician and I don't play anything because I didn't have discipline to practice. But I have been disciplined in like my physical activity. There's a lot of things I can do outside and do various things. There's things there's other things I can do too, but it's because of the discipline.
Right.
And if we've been disciplined for a while, it eventually leads to delight, where it's no longer is it a chore. It's actually something. We can actually cross a threshold where it becomes, I'm delight in this.
So that's really good. Yeah. That's so good, man. Well, thank you. I know that you are in a new season of life.
Yes.
Some exciting things coming. When this comes out, you'll kind of already be flown in that. But you want to talk about just a little bit what's ahead, what's coming up, and share some of your coaching business and
Sure. Yeah. So I just began to sense a couple of years ago, God was shifting my life, as I was working through all the stuff we were talking about here, and just really leaning in and in the cocoon and all of that. Anyway, bottom lining it, I'm transitioning from my paid role there at the church, as a, staff pastor. I'm going to transition into a volunteer role, which is awesome. Excited about that. But I've accepted a position with, Nick and Christine Kane, over in Equip and Empower Ministries, and I'll be directing Equip and Empower Ministries, which is going to be super exciting, and working closely there with the Canes. And so I didn't see any of this coming. This is a lot of this is a lot of like when you just keep following God and just keep listening and working with him in the process. I launched a coaching business, and I thought he was leading me towards a full-time coaching business.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to have my coaching business without a doubt. I'm going to also be launching my own podcast. I'm going to be working on a book, doing all of that as well. But when you just follow him, he has surprises along the way that you can never, ever have anticipated. And so I was totally shocked when they asked me about coming on board with them. So I start that in January. And it's going to be good for me because it's a bit nebulous. I'm not exactly sure. It's totally out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I like to control. I am an Enneagram 8. I like control. I don't really exactly know how all this is going to work, but God's good. So I'm leaning into it. So yeah, I've got my coaching business I'll still be doing. I've got a page on, it's called Hit Your Stride Coaching. Hit Your Stride dot, I think it's net.
I'll make sure I link it all in the notes so people can
Cool. As well as a website if people are interested in coaching with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know yet what I'm going to call my podcast. Actually, I meant to talk to you about that today while we were hiking.
Yes.
So we'll chat on that at some other time.
Yes.
Yeah. So got some exciting things ahead.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Super excited for you. And I asked you this when I was asking you about being on this podcast, but two nuggets of wisdom that you would share with everybody. Even though you've already shared like 7,000 nuggets.
Well, thank you. You know, the first one I think I've already mentioned, but that it's really truly is to trust the slow work of God. Mm. So I would just bring that back because that's just been so critical in this season that we've been in for myself for the last 5-6 years, not just during COVID, but yeah. Trust the slow work. We tend to want to rush things or we give up too easily. Mm-hmm. And we live in an instantaneous society. We think that if we don't see it in a week, we missed it. And then we try to make it happen ourselves. And I am so glad that at least in this case, I didn't try to make it happen myself. Just God kept telling me, wait, wait, wait. Wait has been an incredibly important word. And I don't like waiting. I don't like stillness, but it's exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's first would be that is just trust him, lean into it. Don't rush things. Mm-hmm. Don't get your value from well, I'm not there yet. That has nothing to do with your value. You're in this journey.
Yeah.
And then the second one would be, I learned this in the coaching world and I've really been applying this and love it. And it's when you hit a spot, like you think life is going one way, like let's say we're in February of 2020, everything looks like it's going a certain way and up comes mid-March, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes, what then does this make possible?
Yeah.
You know, you had this plan and now it's just blocked.
Yeah.
You know, we can pout, we can cry, we can give up, we can try to break the wall, or we can say, what then does this make possible? And if we will step back and look at that, there are possibilities we didn't see before that come into play that we would have missed had that block not come, and it's probably going to even be better than what we had originally intended.
Yeah.
And so just ask that question. I mean, it's okay to cry for, 10 minutes, whatever, feel the emotion. I'm all into feel the emotions. Yeah. I'm all for that, but you work yourself through it, meet Jesus in the midst of the emotion. And then, okay, what does this make possible? And begin to dream and watch what he does. Watch the doors he opens because you're not forgotten. You're not too late. He's got a plan.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.